Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well, and welcome back to Voice Notes with Jordan Teresa. I am really sorry that I disappeared for a couple of weeks. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable here. I tell you guys that I have not been feeling like my best slay self recently. I mean, it's nothing awful because I guess like the benefit of having like a life-altering mental breakdown is that any sort of like depressive, you know, funk or episode you're in afterwards doesn't feel anywhere near as bad. So you're literally like, okay, in comparison to how I felt 2 years ago where I wanted to actually kill myself, this is fine, you know, this is manageable. But I do just want to be like quite honest with you guys and like keep it real, you know. I have not been feeling too hot recently. I thought it was like period depression, and then I thought it was maybe seasonal depression, but my period passed. I'm still depressed. I'm not like depressed, you know, but I just feel a little bit like demotivated and like lethargic and like a little bit down in the dumps. And I don't think it's seasonal either, because I have been, this sounds so daft, but I've really been enjoying being able to wear like all my wintery clothes. That's something that I always look forward to with the seasons changing, is that I just basically get to wear like a whole different wardrobe. Especially because now I've started putting away all of my other clothes, all of my sort of like off-season clothes in a suitcase. So then I get to get them out next year and it actually feels like I'm getting new clothes. Like, how fun. Basically, I haven't been feeling great. And I think something which is a little bit hard about this is, like, if I'm going to be honest, I feel a little bit manic. Like, I don't feel, and I haven't felt like sort of like manic in like quite a long time, like at least like a year. Like, I just, like, usually with like my depressive episodes is that I feel depressed for a couple of weeks and then I get out of it and then I slowly get better and better and better. But like this one has been, you know, I'm not even joking, like the morning being in the best mood ever and then in the evening like crying, like, and feeling really sad and down. And I think the big thing for me is that I just feel so demotivated, and I think I have like a lot of work on at the moment. If you guys don't know, something about influencers and YouTubers is that January and December are some of the busiest months of the year. A lot of companies want to do brand deals during December because they have December deals on. And then a lot of brands want to do brand deals in January because it's the new year. I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't have like any evidence to back this up, but like I am certain that people buy more stuff in January, even though it's like post Christmas and everyone's a little bit broke. In January, it's like the new year, so you're more likely to, you know, invest a little bit of money on a new planner or like a new sort of like a Notion type thing, an organization tool, because you're like new year, new me, gym memberships, gym clothes, things like that sort of represent that fresh start. People are more likely to spend money on in the new year. So obviously I've been feeling demotivated anyway and a bit depressed, and then I think what doesn't help is because I have so much work on, I'm getting a bit stressed and a bit anxious about it. And it's not even necessarily like I'm stressed about the work, it's more just like if I do a day where I don't feel like I've done enough work, I actually feel like such a piece of shit. Like, I have really bad productivity guilt, and I think like a lot of it is linked to the fact that I work for myself, and I also have like suspected ADHD, which I'm getting an assessment for in February. So I already find it a little bit difficult. But then obviously when I've got like a, you know, I'm in a little bit of a funk right now, you know, having like that funk mixed in with it as well, I just am walking around feeling like the biggest piece of shit ever. Like, and it's a lot of it's related to my work, and it's just kind of hard, but like, it's okay. I know that I'm going to feel better soon. I guess I think there's also like this element of shame, like, because I have been, I don't know, have I been open about it? I feel like I'm pretty open about like my mental health journey. And I've shared on my social medias before, on my TikTok, that I had a really bad mental breakdown like nearly 2 years ago now. And I have come so far since then. Like, it was really bad, guys. Like, I wanted to kill myself. Like, it was crazy. but yeah, no, so, you know, to go from that to like a version of myself that's like, I'm a lot happier, I'm a lot healthier, is like, is something that I take a lot of pride in. So I guess there's almost like this element of shame that like, I feel like I'm letting myself down, even though poor mental health and going through a funks and depressive episodes and things like that isn't my fault. It's still something which I just, again, it's like guilt. Like I feel like I constantly have like this like guilt weighing on my chest, and it's just really, really hard. But yeah, no, I actually think Lem's coming in, and he's actually bought me a pink gin and tonic because I need a gin and tonic to just hype. But see, even now I'm sat here talking, like I feel a lot better. Lem's coming in now. Sorry about the door. Hello.
Hello.
Lem said hi, episode.
Who are you cheersing?
Second. Woo! Pink gin and tonic. Oh, you got one for yourself as well?
Yeah. Not two for you. Can't have you getting all drunk and sloppy.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So guys, my drink of choice today, just to get myself a bit more pepped up and in the mood, is a Gordon's pink gin and tonic. See, I can only have gin in very small increments because I had what I can only describe as genuinely a life-changing hangover. Again, it was 2 years ago. All bad things happened in my life 2 years ago. but I had like a life-altering hangover. It was like 2 days, heart palpitations, anxiety. Like, it was so, so bad. And I remember I left the Motive like pretty early because I didn't want to be hungover. But because I drank half a bottle of gin, I actually had like the worst hangover of my life. So yeah, that's sort of where I've been. And I think the tricky thing, like, I guess like the thing that I like about with my videos is that because they're all scripted, I can film them when I'm not in a great mood, and I can work on them when I'm not in a great mood either. Like sitting and, you know, doing my script and like, you know, a bloody rough outfit and, you know, no makeup, greasy hair, I can go to a coffee shop, headphones in. I know that I feel like I'm not being perceived. Do you know what I mean? But like with the podcast, it's like, there's like a process to it in a sense where like planning the episode is fine. But also when I plan the episode, I have to think, okay, talk about this, but I have to make sure I actually have thoughts on it. I know that sounds so, again, I feel like this sounds like such first world problems. Like it sounds so daft. Yeah, no, so like, but there's like a process of the podcast where I have to plan the episode, make sure I know what I'm going to talk about, like, and that if I have enough to talk about it. And then when it comes to it, I have to like get up, do my makeup, do my hair. I mean, I know I don't have to do my makeup, but guys, I want to do my makeup. You know, do my makeup, do my hair. I have to like, and then it's just, I just have to talk to myself. So when I'm really not in the mood to do it, like I really, really can't do it. And I know it sounds so silly because I know that if I pushed myself, I could. Like today I didn't want to do it, but I have a deadline and I want to send it to Kath like as soon as possible. And I have like gotten up, done my makeup. I'm going to a screening today of this movie called Leave the World Behind on Netflix. I haven't like heard of it before, and I haven't watched the trailer either. I'm going in completely blind. But I know that Ethan Hawke is in it, and I know that Mahershala Ali is in it, and I really like him. Oh my God, speaking of, Spotify Wrapped came out, and Nicholas Britell was my second most listened to artist. I'm in the top 7% of Nicholas Britell listeners because I listen to a scripting playlist, which is all full of like scores and classical music, because classical music really helps me concentrate. But yeah, how, like, it feels so silly. But no, Nicholas Britell did the score for Moonlight, and Mahershala Ali is in Moonlight. But I feel like I'm going to talk about Spotify Wrapped on a different episode. Spotify Wrapped literally came out like a couple of hours ago, but I really want to like reserve it for when I'm in a better mood to talk about my Spotify Wrapped, even though it's not very good because it's literally just full of like John Bryan and Nicholas Britell, who like, look, don't get me wrong, love them, but like it's not exactly interesting like music. It literally is just my scripting playlist. But yeah, no, so it's something that I struggle with a little bit, but now that I've actually like gotten up and I'm like sat here and I'm talking, I feel so much better. And this is the thing, is that I think what's slightly frustrating for me anyway, is that this demotivation, you know, it like stops me from going out and seeing my friends. It makes me cancel plans. Like as soon as it gets to like 4 o'clock and it starts getting dark outside, it's like, oh, I just want to get into bed. Like every time my mum has FaceTimed me this week, I've been in my fucking bed. Or at least the last few weeks, I've literally just been in bed every single time. But you know, so I just want to get into bed. But basically something that like I was having a little bit of a menti bee over that I was getting a little bit upset about is that I found that I was getting really, really bored. Like as in when I finished work, I wouldn't have anything to do. I was sick of watching TV shows. I just found myself, I would just keep on scrolling on my phone, which is like the worst thing ever. Like scrolling on your phone is one of those things where I think someone described it online as like eating chocolate. Like having a little bit of it, it's really, really good and like really, really fun. Chocolate's so fun, like really, really fun. But if you have too much of it, you start to feel a bit minging. Like I feel like when I scroll on my phone for more than 20 minutes, I feel like a minger, like sorry. So I just found myself like mindlessly scrolling on my phone and it was making me even more depressed. And I then was sort of having this thing where I was like, why don't I have any hobbies? Like the problem is that when YouTube became my job, YouTube was my hobby. So now it's like I have no hobbies and I've tried so many things. The hobby that I loved the most was pole, but it was really expensive. But I would love to get started on that again. But yeah, no, like I just really like struggle with like hobbies and things like that. I am learning French, but I haven't done a lesson for the past couple of weeks because I haven't been feeling like my best self. You know, I feel like I try a lot of things and I literally drop them immediately because I don't feel entertained. And I think that's something which I'm finding quite hard because I feel like I just have nothing to do. And I cannot even describe it, guys. When I get bored, like I genuinely cry because like it's just so painful. Like it feels like painful to be bored. But something that I came to the conclusion to actually fairly quickly, did not take me long to come to this conclusion at all, is that I realized that hanging out with my friends and my boyfriend is my hobby. Going out for dinner, popping to the pub, going for a drink, going around someone's house, that is my hobby. I love doing that. I am such a people person. I cannot describe how much of a people person I am. I am literally just extrovert, like 100% extroverted, like to a T. When I'm around other people, it completely and utterly energizes me. And when I'm by myself, I feel depressed. I don't ever really feel like I have to recharge my social battery because, because I just love being around people so much. And I realized that these things, you know, it may not be seen as a hobby, you know, hanging out with your friends, but it's a hobby to me. It's a hobby to me and I love it. So I'm now, something which I'm doing now to sort of combat my depression and like my sort of like weird funk that I'm in right now is I'm basically making plans after work. Instead of saving the plans for the weekend, I'm making plans after work. So today I'm going to that screening with Jake. And then tomorrow, we're actually filming the Secret Santa for Eleanor's second channel. But then afterwards, me and Eleanor have been invited to this really cool Spotify event that we're going to go to, which we're really, really excited about. On Friday, Karis and Lily are coming over and we're going to have our Christmas drinks and dinner. And I'm going to host here. So not only is it a really, really good excuse to sort my shit out and like do all of my chores properly, because I feel like there's like some, there's a goal I'm actually working towards, but also I am going to pop out and I'm going to go to Flying Tiger because there's one like fairly near me, and I'm going to pick up like candles and like some Christmassy decorations and some fairy lights and make it look really nice and cute. We're not getting a Christmas tree this year because first of all, Boots knocked over that Christmas tree last year so often. But also, we're going to be away. We're going to LA on the 22nd. So I don't see all that much of a point in getting a Christmas tree. So I'm just going to like decorate the house with like Christmassy decorations, but not do a tree. But yeah, I feel like I haven't been feeling that Christmassy this year, you know. But to be fair, I went to Eleanor's last week and she had like all the Christmas decorations up. And being at Eleanor's house makes me feel super, super Christmassy. You know, and I think something which is quite good about, you know, really prioritizing time to like spend with my friends and making sure I actually like go and do it and follow through with it, even when I am feeling demotivated and tired, is that it makes the things that I feel like are burdensome, like having to watch a TV show, scrolling on my phone, it makes it feel like more enjoyable. Like it gives me more joy because I'm not doing it all of the time. So yeah, I'm just like, I actually see this is the thing. I was feeling so down in the dumps and sad today. And then as soon as I've popped some makeup on, popped a nice outfit on, sat in front of the camera, started talking to you guys, I feel a lot better. And I'm really, really excited to go out and see Jake today. I was going to say something. Oh yeah. I don't know whether to make a full episode. Oh, I have multiple things to say. First of all, I know my hair is slicked back right now. Kind of annoying. So basically, I had all my extensions taken out and my hair is very thick and it's looking pretty healthy. And basically, I've been trying to put minimal heat on it as possible. And a lot of the time, if I like slather my hair in product, it actually dries like sort of nice and like natural and wavy. Today, I had to go to Kilburn and pick up some lamps from Argos. So, basically, I like left the house with semi-wet hair, and I had my headphones on. I also had a scarf on, so I think that meddled with it, that messed around with my hair. So it like didn't dry right, and it looked really like poofy and bad. Like it looked so frizzy. So I decided to just slick it back, and then I think I'm gonna rewash it tomorrow. But basically, fast forward, dye my hair brown. Well, my hairdresser dyed my hair brown. They dyed it like an auburny brown, like an orange toned brown. And I really, really like it. I've been wanting to dye my hair back brown for a while. And I was so sick of the ginger. I'd had ginger hair for a really long time. The shade of ginger that I absolutely loved was when I had the highlights in it. But at the moment, I'm trying to go no bleaching so I can grow my actual hair out. My actual hair out, guys. And have natural hair and not have to worry about getting extensions anymore. So I think I'm going to keep the brown for the whole of the winter, I think, grow it out. And then I think the color I want to go after brown is I want to go that red shade that Dua Lipa has, because I absolutely love it. I think she looks amazing. And I've had red hair before, but I didn't really like it because I just don't feel like it was the right shade for me. It was like really, really dark. And also something that I linked a lot of, you know, let me talk about my extensions for a second. So let me put my picture to it down. So basically, if you guys don't know, I have been bleaching my hair since, well, I had been bleaching my hair since I was 17 years old. And I dyed it red when I was 23. And then I started bleaching it again around a year later. And then I've decided to stop bleaching it again. So when I started bleaching my hair, obviously, I wasn't just doing highlights, guys. I was doing full bleach. And it really, really damaged my hair. And it made the ends of my hair extremely thin. And my hair is very, very thick. I have very thick hair. But the bleach made it so, so thin and damaged. So I started getting these like microlink extensions, which is basically extensions which are fused with like a metal tube. And they like squeeze it down and then it's stuck to your hair. That caused even more damage to my hair because I didn't used to change them enough because I couldn't afford it. Like, what is wrong with me? And I think something which like makes me sad is that I linked so much of my self-esteem and my self-worth into that dry as fuck bleached hair. I think I've spoken a little bit about, have I? I don't know. Basically, I used to have extremely low self-esteem when I was younger. I was actually called ugly. I was called ugly multiple occasions. Like, I was called ugly, not super, super often, but I was called ugly enough for me to remember it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if someone was going to insult me, I was called ugly. I was called ugly to my face, behind my back. And that gave me like a major complex because when I was 15, 16, I was never insecure about the way that I looked. And all of a sudden, I became really, really insecure about the way that I looked. And I started bleaching my hair because, you know, when I was blonde, I felt prettier. And it's just so sad because it's like I damaged my hair so much and I clung onto it. And then what didn't help was when I was 23 and I dyed my hair back, I went through a little bit of like a self-esteem like crisis, and I just felt really, really shit about myself. So again, I sort of clung my self-esteem to my blonde hair, and I started bleaching it again, which didn't do like the worst, but it obviously didn't do it any fucking favors, right? But yeah, at the moment I'm feeling like really, like looks wise, I'm feeling like really good about myself. Like, and like, I feel like I have like quite good levels of self-esteem when it comes to my looks. If you also couldn't tell, I've actually stopped fake tanning. I don't know whether to talk about this fully in a different episode or not. I technically still have a little bit of my like tan slash like glow left over from my holiday at the end of August when we all went to Corfu. But I stopped fake tanning after that, and I cannot even begin to tell you guys how free I am. I cannot even begin to tell you guys how nice it is to not have to, you know, cover myself in fake tan before I go to bed, have the sheets covered in tan. I always reek. Fake tan reeks. And I just like feel so free. And also, I think something which I've actually found a makeup routine that suits my more fairer complexion, something that I found really, really interesting, I actually found this out on TikTok, shock, is that with fake tan, people that fake tan regularly, they struggle to do their makeup when they don't have fake tan on, because your makeup genuinely looks completely different when your face is a different shade. And I'm not talking about things like foundation, like obviously. I'm talking about things like your contour shade, your blusher, your lipstick, things like this. They look, your, when you wear fake tan, your face can take heavier makeup because there's less contrast. So something which I've noticed, and I feel like I sound like a bitch. I feel like I sound like a bitch when I say this, but something which I've noticed is that a lot of like the UK beauty gurus, like TikTok makeup girlies, wear so much fake tan. Where, and again, I feel like this is something that I've realized in hindsight now that I'm not fake tanning, is how orange fake tan looks. Like I look back on some of the old pictures of myself, and I was really like, the shade didn't suit me at all. But yeah, that's what I've noticed about a lot of like the TikTok makeup girlies, is they all wear loads of fake tan because it can take heavier makeup. But yeah, maybe I'll talk about ending my fake tan journey in a different episode, because honestly I feel so much better for it, and I actually feel like it was a long process, but I actually feel like I suit my skin tone, shock, I suit my fair complexion so much more than I did when I used to put fake tan on. So shall we do TV show I'm watching, song I'm listening to, book I'm reading? So TV show I'm watching, I decided to rewatch the first two seasons of Misfits. What a show. I have not watched Misfits since I was 16. Misfits was my favorite show when I was 16. And honestly, it's back on my top five shows. My top five shows are Breaking Bad, BoJack Horseman, Succession, Misfits, and Girls. Those are my, Lem, yeah. Did you hear that? Did you hear my top five favorite shows? BoJack Horseman, yeah. And Succession.
Yeah, that's good.
Is that a good lineup?
What about the show with all the kids and they're poor?
Huh?
The show with all the kids and they're poor, and that girl, she wears the jeans. She's got she has to look after her brothers and sisters
because
their dad's
drunk. Oh. They live next to Shameless.
Yeah, yeah.
Shameless is not one of my favorite TV shows.
Okay.
Oh, The Bear. Well, we haven't finished The Bear yet.
Okay. Game of Thrones?
No, that was too depressing.
Walking Dead?
That has a place in my heart.
One Piece?
No.
Right. Okay. I can't
think of any other. That's okay. honestly, guys, what an absolute lineup of shows. Those are definitely my top five favorite shows. And then, what do you call it? Honorary mentions to Broad City and The Walking Dead. love those shows. So those are my top five favorite shows at the moment. Misfits is just so good. Guys, if you have never watched, obviously some parts haven't aged well. I just want to preface that. But if you have not watched Misfits, it's honestly one of the best shows I've watched in my life. It's really, really good, especially those first two seasons. One of the main actors leaves in the third season, and I did watch the third and the fourth season when I was younger, and I'm going to rewatch it soon. I think it's just because the tone of it changes quite a lot, but what I find really interesting actually is the show, because one of the main actors left, they basically did like what I see as the first ever sitcom shakeup. If you haven't heard of a sitcom shakeup, basically it was something that after Charlie Sheen got fired from Two and a Half Men, they obviously replaced Charlie Sheen with Ashton Kutcher instead of just scrapping the show, and that actually made the ratings increase because obviously Two and a Half Men, I'm pretty sure, had been going on for like 6 or 7 seasons, and then they decided to bring this fresh new face in, and it reinvigorated like viewership. And a lot of other shows, like sitcoms that were sort of getting a little bit dry, did a sitcom shakeup. So they did it for New Girl when Zooey Deschanel went on maternity leave. They replaced Zooey Deschanel with Megan Fox, and they did it in Misfits where they replaced one of the main characters with a new main character. So yeah, I don't know, I find it really interesting. Sorry if that was boring. But yeah, I'm watching that, and then I watched the documentary on Netflix, Escaping Twin Flames. Guys, what the fuck was that? So if you haven't heard of Escaping Twin Flames, basically it's like this forum online, which was a cult, well, is a cult, is still active. And basically, they would claim that they could find your twin flame. And they encouraged people to, like, stalk their exes, saying that they were twin flames, they were meant to be together. People got arrested. They also spoke about this thing of everyone's a divine feminine or a divine masculine, and if you're a divine masculine, you have to cut your hair, change your pronouns, and which unfortunately reinforces the idea that being transgender is like pushed upon people when very rarely it's not. And luckily they brought on a scholar who was trans themselves and studied like queer and trans studies, and they also repeated that. I feel like they handled that quite well, because I knew that could have been handled quite poorly, but they handled that aspect of the cult really well, in my opinion. Speaking about how like only 1% of transgender people regret their transition. But yeah, really crazy documentary. I actually really recommend it. I felt like it was like they wasn't enough, like I wanted more out of it, but I don't know whether that's just because I love knowing loads of information about stuff. And then the songs I'm listening to is, I actually haven't been listening to a lot of music recently, really, like no specific songs, but I have been listening to my scripting classical music playlist, hence why Nicholas Britell is my second most listened to artist on Spotify. Like, love, no offense, Nicholas, love you. But a couple years ago, it was Flo Milli. I was having fun a couple years ago. I was in the club a couple years ago. And now look at me. I'm really joking. And then the book I'm reading is, I was reading The Artist's Way. I need to pick it back up. I'm still trying to finish that bloody QAnon book. I hate having ADHD, guys. I just want to finish a book. But The Artist's Way is actually pretty interesting. I think I'm going to talk about it more in another episode, but something I've been thinking about a lot is the fact that I have a creative job and I'm pretty prone to creative burnout, but I don't treat myself as a creative. And really, I should be treating my work as it's like it's art, which I know sounds really absurd, but like in a creative job, like that's just what I need to be doing. But yeah, I'm going to talk more about that book in detail when I'm a little bit more in the mood to flesh it out and talk about it. But just before we get into it, guys, I would love to thank today's sponsor, Lingoda. I've spoken about Lingoda in my last few episodes. If you haven't heard of Lingoda, they are an online language school where you can learn multiple different languages, English, business English, French, German, and Spanish from beginner to advanced levels. The language that I am learning at the moment is French. I've spoken about this before, but if you guys didn't know, half of my family's French. My dad speaks fluent French. French, and I don't know any French. And I have always wanted to learn the language. I feel like it's such a beautiful language, and I feel like it's such an interesting language as well. Also, like, half my family speak it. Like, I'm getting FOMO. I'm missing out. And the beauty of Lingoda is that they offer classes 24/7. For the past couple of weeks, as I said, I've been feeling a little bit down in the dumps. I've been depressed, so I haven't been doing my Lingoda classes, but that is absolutely fine because they are available 24/7. So next week, I actually want to do another couple of lessons to reinvigorate myself, make myself feel a little bit better. I'm actually going to insert another clip of me flexing my French muscles, because I basically know the same that I did in my last episode a couple of weeks ago, and I want to flex, you know, bonjour, je ne sais pas, bonjour, hello, I don't know, but you know, ça va bien, merci. You guys have already heard this already, but I'm going to insert another clip of me flexing what I learned in my most recent lesson, trying to get out of my depressive slump.
Hello, Jordan from the future here. I just finished my last Lingoda lesson, and it was called The Definite Article, and it was basically vocabulary to help me in my French lessons, which I know to you guys might sound a little bit random, but obviously it's really good that they do this type of lesson really early on, because it really helps the classes flow smoothly and it really helps you feel very confident. So it's basically just like words that relate to learning a language. So la question, which I told you about last week, which is a question, la réponse, which is answer, and then we learned, you know, la femme, l'homme, which is a man and a woman, écouter, which is to listen, lire, which is to read, I'm trying to think of the others, parler, which is to speak, and then can you repeat that please, because I obviously ask, oh, can you say that again, but guys, I had to start doing it in French. I'm learning French. I have to speak French in my French lessons. Vous pouvez répéter s'il vous plaît? Yeah, I'm slaying. But yeah, that's sort of what I learned in my last lesson. I obviously learned some more, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
But because they're 24/7, you can choose when to take them. You can take them on your day off. You can take them before work, after work, on your lunch break. And also, Lingoda classes are very small. There's usually only 3 to 5 students per class. So I always feel very attended to. And also, the environment is really immersive. They have native levels teachers. And also, the environment's really friendly. I know that it can be really, really daunting. Learning a new language and just doing something new in general, but I've had nothing but positive experiences in my Lingoda classes, and especially with Lingoda teachers. They're always so friendly and nice. You can also look at your Lingoda notes after your lessons at any time, and which is what I do a lot. One of my teachers told me that the best way to learn French and just learn a language in general is to look at your notes the day after, 3 days after, and then 6 days after, and that should cement it in your brain even more. And you can also look at your lesson notes like as the teacher annotated them as the lesson is going along. Lingoda's flexibility makes it so you can take lessons at any pace that you wish. If you want to go a little bit faster, if you want to go a little bit slow and steady, which is what I'm doing, but it doesn't mean that I'm not making good progress. And again, I've had a break for the last couple of weeks because I've been feeling down in the dumps, and my lessons will be right there, ready to pick up when I feel ready to get back into it. Another thing that really stands out to me about Lingoda is their sprint challenges. If you haven't heard of a sprint challenge before, it's a 60-day intensive course designed to get students into the habit of learning a new language every single day. Learning a language every single day consistently not only improves your, like, the pace in which you learn the language, and like you get really, really quick progress, but also it improves the way that you speak the language as well, and it really improves your confidence with the language too.
If you successfully complete your sprint challenge by attending all of the classes, you can get 50% cash back or Lingoda class credits, which are worth an equivalent value of 100% cash back. Lingoda offers the regular sprint challenge, which is taking 30 lessons in 60 days, and upon successful completion, you'll get 50% cash back or 30 class credits, and also the super sprint challenge, which is 60 lessons in 60 days, and upon successful completion, you will get 50% cash back or 60 class credits. The Lingoda Sprint Challenge begins on the 27th of December.
And not only that, but Lingoda have very kindly given me a discount code to share with you guys. If you use 20 voice notes in all capitals, that is 20VOICENOTES in all capitals, 20 voice notes, gonna say that again, 20 voice notes, you will get €20 discount or $25 discount. Thank you again, Lingoda, for sponsoring today's episode, and let's get into it. I'm not going to lie to you guys, this, the main topic of today's episode, it feels rogue. I just want to say that this feels extreme. I mean, it's not really random, it's about pop culture, but this would make more sense if it was mixed in with something else. But I wanted to make an entire episode about the whole like Matt Rife controversy and like the rise of influencer comedians and male comedians, manosphere comedians. And I wanted to talk more about that in a different episode and go a little bit more in depth there. Today, we're just going to take it easy and we're going to talk about Tate McRae. If you haven't been on Twitter or at least on my timeline anyway, my timeline has, well, at least a couple of weeks ago, it was slightly inundated with people tweeting about Tate McRae. Tate McRae is a Canadian singer and dancer. And she was recently, I think it was on SNL or like Jimmy Fallon, one of those, you know, nightly American shows she performed. And a lot of people were like, who the hell is Tate McRae? People saying like, I've literally never heard of this girl in my life. And all of a sudden she's everywhere. People saying that she's an industry plant, that the industry is pushing her so much. What other things were people saying about Tate McRae? I think that was it. It was mostly along the lines of, who the hell is this? I've never heard of this girl in my life. And she's an industry plant. And I found this all really, really interesting. I find people's, I guess, attitudes towards alleged industry plants absolutely fascinating, as I find most things. But I decided to do a little bit of research into Tate McRae. First of all, Tate McRae is her real name. I thought that Tate McRae was going to be a stage name, but it's actually her real name. She's 20 years old and she is a Canadian singer and dancer. She has over 2 million followers on Instagram and she has over 52 million monthly listeners on Spotify. Now, this may baffle you if you've never heard of Tate McRae before, but she has more monthly listeners than Beyonce, and I think that was something which took a lot of people by surprise. It took Twitter by storm. But I think something to consider is that Tate McRae, I'm pretty sure she recently released she's releasing an album soon and she just recently released singles. So I feel like monthly listeners, they do vary based on like when people release things. You know, Beyonce released Renaissance over a year ago. Yeah, and God, wasn't Renaissance 2 years ago nearly? Beyonce released Renaissance like over a year ago. So I feel like her monthly listeners are going to be lower than someone who's releasing brand new music. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, no, so this was really like rattling people, but her most popular song, You Broke Me First, has over 1 billion streams, which is absolutely nuts. And I listened to some of her music. Sorry if I'm like all over the place. I listened to some of her music and I will say that she has a very distinct voice and like a very distinct sound. A lot of her songs sound of like, I'm trying to describe it. Like, I feel like I'd hear her songs in heaven. If you don't know what heaven is, it's like a gay nightclub in London. I feel like I'd hear a lot of her songs in like the pop room at heaven. which isn't a diss, by the way. But yeah, I feel like I'd hear a lot of her songs at like Be It One, maybe All Bar One. I recognize some of her songs from TikTok. That's where I recognize the song. So her song that I recognize, it was Greedy. It was, how does it go? It's like, by myself, can't say you want me, anybody else, me say I'm greedy. I got those lyrics wrong. But when you listen, see, this is the thing. You may never have heard of her name, but when you listen to her music, I can probably put money on it that you'll recognize it. I recognize 10:35 from the club. That's another song. It goes 10:35 and arms around me because I'm drowning. And I'm going to keep it real. My honest review of her music is that I know that I am not the intended audience for it. It's very poppy. Like, it feels like very like heavy pop music. But I do actually think her music's really good. Like, it's not for me, but I can like objectively hear that her music is good. she has a very distinct sound, a very distinct voice, which I can imagine makes her extremely marketable. Also, she's extremely beautiful, and she's a very, very good dancer. From what I saw on I think it was like SNL or Jimmy Fallon, she's a very, very good dancer, and she's a very good performer, and I think that's really valuable. But even when she was dancing her ass off, people were hating on her, and I'm like, I've become a Tate McRae defender. I would say that her music is the type of music that they would play if you worked in retail, but I do feel like her music is like more elevated than just typical retail pop. So she recently performed on either SNL or Jimmy Fallon, and to be fair, in all fairness to the people that were like, who is this? It does seem like Tate McRae has come out of nowhere. But so like, hence why so many people are accusing her of being an industry plant. If you don't know what industry plant is, there's actually not really an official term for an industry plant. But the website Loud and Quiet define an industry plant as: an industry plant is largely accepted to mean an artist who presents themselves as independent and doing things on their own terms, but secretly has the industry backing and money to fund them to artificially shape such a narrative. So Tate McRae seemingly coming out of nowhere and having more monthly listeners than Beyonce, it was leading people to believe that she may be an industry plant. And honestly, I am here to defend Tate McRae. That's bestie. I didn't even listen to her music, but I'm here to defend Tate McRae. So firstly, I sort of want to preface it by saying that no one really knows what an industry plant is. Because what is considered an industry plant? Is it considered someone that was discovered online and then was pushed and invested in by the industry? Is it considered someone who was, you know, an executive's child who was picked up and pushed by the industry? Is it considered someone who is trying to paint themselves as like indie and like an independent artist, but has actually got a lot of industry backing? What is an industry plant? Do you know what I mean? I actually made a YouTube video about industry plants like 3 years ago, but I think I'm going to delete it because I feel like I was chatting like absolute shit in that video. You know, Tate McRae was actually discovered similarly to how loads of artists are discovered these days. She was discovered online. So a lot of young artists were discovered online. Justin Bieber was discovered online. Shawn Mendes, The Weeknd, Lil Nas X, Alessia Cara. They were all discovered through social media. Most of them were discovered through YouTube for uploading like cover videos and original songs on YouTube. So I'm pretty sure it was definitely Justin Bieber, right? He had multiple videos of himself singing Go Viral. And then the industry basically discovered him and decided to put a load of money into him, released his debut singles, which had like these really cool music videos. They paired him up with already very successful artists to collaborate with, you know, but no one's calling Justin Bieber an industry plant, right? So Tate McRae was a very successful dancer before she was a singer. She was the first ever Canadian finalist on the American TV show So You Think You Can Dance. And something which is interesting about this is that a lot of people said that her being like the first ever Canadian finalist is a really, really big deal, because Canadians cannot vote in American TV shows. So it really just showed that the Americans love Tate McRae. And she came third place. She was awarded a 2-week scholarship at Berlin State Ballet. She performed at Justin Bieber concert. She performed on the Ellen DeGeneres show twice. She performed with Demi Lovato at the American Music Awards. By the way, I'm talking about her dancing, not her singing. She choreographed and danced in the Just Say When music video by the American rock band Nothing More. Tate McRae had been uploading dance videos on her YouTube channel since 2011. But in 2017, she began a series called Create with Tate, where she would showcase her original songs. And the first song of the series, One Day, she wrote that when she was 14, by the way, attracted over 39 million views. And she ended up releasing the song as an independent single, where it went certified gold in Canada and would be the first certification of her career. So, sorry, this is homegrown, right? Like, am I crazy? How could she be in industry? Anyways, so from 2017 to 2019, McRae continued to upload and release independent songs as a part of her Create with Tate series. Notable songs include Dear Ex-Best Friend, which has over 40 million views on YouTube, and Dear Parents, with over 20 million views on YouTube. And she was actually named by YouTube as one of their stars on the rise. And like, so she got discovered through the industry through that. And then obviously they're investing money in her and pushing her. And then they're pushing her out even more because she is doing so well. Like, she has over 50 million monthly listeners on Spotify. Her most popular song has over 1 billion streams on Spotify. So cut it out with calling Tate McRae an industry plant, because she's not. She's not. She's actually, it was like authentically discovered, it sounds like. And then she's being invested in by the industry because she's proven to be successful. Here I am defending Tate McRae. Love you, queen. I don't know. I feel like she's not trying to paint herself as like independent. Like, obviously she's getting so much industry backing, but that's because she is, it's seemingly like she is a homegrown artist and she's clearly worked very, very hard to get to where she is. I don't know. I feel like when people, I don't know, whenever there's conversations about industry plants, I always find that people are accusing women of being industry plants. And it's really beginning to get on my nerves that people are accusing women of being industry plants. Like, I, like, because why don't we ever accuse men of being industry plants? Huh? You know, I think I can understand having conversations about industry plants when it comes to, like, people posting TikToks of themselves like, hey, my name is blah, 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 and I'm a singer, and this is my debut song, and I want to be discovered, but, like, there's, like, suspicions that they have industry backing. Like, that's tea. Like, I get that. That's tea. But Tate McRae isn't that. But, yeah, so that was the main topic of today's video. I think what I want to finish this episode off on is, I know that a few of you guys were asking about the agony aunts. I am so sorry. Let me plug my laptop in. Actually, my laptop's about to die. 1 second. So, a few of you guys were asking... Oh, God, it's on the wrong bloody email. No! Oh, never mind, found it. So, a few of you guys were asking what happened to the agony aunt segment, and I'm going to keep it real with you guys. I forgot. I'm really, really sorry. I forgot. Also, whoever decided to sign me up to a supporting Israel email, you are going to hell. It won't even let me unsubscribe from it. So I keep getting supporting Israel emails. I'm assuming this is because I've been very vocal on my Instagram about my support for Palestine and Palestinian liberation, and I've been going to protests and stuff and posting about it on Instagram, and obviously someone decided to react by signing the Voice Notes Fix My Life Gmail up to a supporting Israel email alert. So thanks for that. But the first thing I want to tell you guys is that we have our first ever update. So if you guys listen to my episode with Jack, this is an update of that agony on where this girl let me know that her boyfriend isn't very, like, doesn't like let her know with words how he feels about her, and it was beginning to upset her. So I actually have an update here. And by the way, guys, if I do answer your problems, make sure you send me an update on voicenotesfixmylife@gmail.com. And if you do have a problem, make sure you email voicenotesfixmylife@gmail.com. So let's read it out. Hey Jordan, thank you very much for your response on my problem. I just heard your recent episode and figured I owe you the update now. Haha. Well, firstly, I really appreciated and resonated with what you said about cold feet and how it's normal. I didn't really see it at the time of writing, but that's where a lot of it was coming from. But even still, with issues were there and had to be addressed. So after listening, I spoke with him. I told him, I know you've discussed how I need to be more affectionate/romantic outside of the bedroom, but I wanted to reiterate how this is something I don't want to waver in my life, and I don't want to lose us because I don't feel fulfilled romantically. We spoke about love languages. Obviously, mine is words of affirmation / physical touch. And we figured out his is acts of service. When I said he showed he loved me every day, I was referring to him making my lunch every day, plugging my phone in after I've fallen asleep, picking up my favorite drink on his way home. Yes, he's lovely. He explained to me that he grew up in a home where they didn't hug or say I love you, but he always felt loved because his family showed him by caring for him every day. The same way he's always there and takes care of me every day. After discussing with each other, we came to the conclusion that he would try to find me more throughout the days and give me a cuddle or a kiss. He's not very touchy at all, so this was big, haha. and I realise that I need to step up a bit too. Clearly smothering him all day isn't how he sees love. So lately, I've been taking a step back and trying to take care of him more too. It helped to hear you, a very empathetic, kind, loving person from what I've seen. Thank you. Also finding it hard to outright show your love for Lem. It surprised me. It made me realise that, like, people are genuinely just built different and it's not bad or wrong. Some people in this world just don't feel the need or comfortable being all touchy and mushy the same way I do. I think my ego saw it as though he didn't physically or romantically want me, and it's good not to feel that way lately. In conclusion, since our conversation, he has not changed in nature, but I see that he is trying to show up for me in that way, and we are more understanding with each other. It's been quite nice, actually. So thank you and Jack for helping me navigate this a bit, because it's been a lingering issue. But since our chat, I feel a lot more fulfilled and understood, and I think so does he. P.S. I can't tell you how strange it was doing my thing, listening to one of my fave pods, and then slowly realizing you are reading my words. Like, wait, is this fucking play about us? Little surreal. Okay, enough blabbering. I adore you and your content, and thank you for always entertaining me. You're welcome. I am so glad that it sorted itself out, and I hope that things go well between you and your boyfriend. I know that, like, I actually relate to your boyfriend so hard because I, similarly to your boyfriend, I came from a family where we didn't really show any physical affection to each other. We don't talk about our feelings or anything like that. So I really, really do struggle to, you know, like, for example, like writing a Valentine's card. I'll literally write like, love you, Jordan. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's something that I really, really struggle with. So I genuinely empathize with your boyfriend. But again, my love language, like, I can't really do like words of affirmation, and I'm not very good at giving compliments, but I am like very cuddly, and I love getting him gifts and things like that. But yeah, I'm really, really glad things are good. And if you have another problem in your relationship, send it through. So, okay, this is the agony aunt that we are answering today. And I just want to say to this person, if you want to send me an update, make sure you do send it through, because I would love to start out every agony aunt segment with an update. Obviously, I know we've got a backlog because I didn't do the agony aunt for like 3 weeks. My fault. So here we've got. Hi, Jordan. Firstly, just want to say how much I love you and your channel. Thank you. Also, Ari, the last voice notes episode, I just want to send support and tell you that you made me cry too. I read Laura Bates' book, Men Who Hate Women, per your recommendation over the summer, and was absolutely amazed and horrified. It's so brilliant, and thank you for the recommendation. No problem at all. Okay, Ari, my problem. I'm 26 and my younger sister is my absolute best friend. She's 24 and lives in London while I'm still up north. I adore her, but I really don't like her boyfriend. They've been together for a couple of years and they live together, and she really views him as her forever partner, but I'm really not keen on him. And my parents aren't either. It's just, firstly, he got with her by cheating on his long-term girlfriend to be with her, and so I don't trust him that much. He would probably do it again. But also, my sister adores him and can't seem to realise that other people don't. It's to the point where she has invited him on several family holidays and to a concert the two of us had tickets for next year. Is there any way I can talk to her nicely about not liking him? It's not that I want the two of them to split up, because I can tell she's really happy with him. I just want to say that I don't want to see him as much as she does. Plus, I think she should be more careful about him because of the whole start. Basically, how do I ask her nicely to stop inviting him to things? Thank you, Jordan. Sent from my iPad. Okay, so this is definitely an interesting one, and this is definitely a topic I find interesting already. I find the whole, what do you do when you don't like your sister, your best friend, your friend's partner? So, I am actually gonna come at this from the stance of Loki being in defense of the boyfriend. So, I understand that cheating is bad. I get it. Cheating is bad. But a part of me does think that I do feel like sometimes cheating isn't acceptable, but sometimes cheating, I'm trying to explain it, because I have been cheated on before, by the way, guys. Like, it's not like I've never been cheated on before and I don't know the pain. I do. But sometimes cheating doesn't make someone a bad person. And I think this, again, if you find out that he's cheated on all of his partners, that's an absolute red flag. But, you know, it could have been a sense of he was in a long-term relationship, he hadn't been happy for a really long time, he didn't know how to break it off, and then he ended up cheating. Doesn't take away, you know, the responsibility of it and, like, the badness of it, like, it is bad, but a part of me does disagree with this whole notion, once a cheater, always a cheater, because sometimes cheating can, you know, genuinely be a mistake. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people who cheat, you know, whether it's emotionally cheating, whether it's physically cheating, they do sort of like live to regret it later and wish that they'd handled the situation differently. Again, I don't know what his attitude is towards it. But I think this idea that like all cheating should just be tarnished under the same umbrella, I don't particularly agree with. Does it mean that he is more likely to cheat on her? Yeah, of course it is. And I know that as a sister, that must be like quite daunting and horrible. But I don't think that that makes him a bad person. And that doesn't mean that he's going to do it again. But also it could mean that he could do it again. So that's just sort of my first take of it is, you know, again, he could have cheated on all of his last partners and he's an absolute walking red flag. Or it could have just been the one time and obviously something good has come out of it. So that is good, but it doesn't obviously take away from like the hurt that he has caused, you know. I think the best way to go about it is to just tell your sister that you want to spend some time just you and her. I would not tell your sister that you don't like her boyfriend. I am very anti telling someone that you don't like their partner. Unless they're like borderlining on a breakup, then I think it's time to be honest. You know, there's honesty hour. But I am very anti telling someone that you don't like their partner because I think it can be very isolating. And you feel like, you know, when you're told by someone like your close friend, your sister, your family that they don't like your partner, it makes you feel like you can't confide in them about anything. And you still want to be like a confidant for your sister and you still want to be there for your sister. I just personally have never seen anything good come out of telling someone that you don't like their partner. So I would just go about it and say that you want to spend more quality time with her, just you and her. Just say it's a girl's night. Like, just say like, oh, girls' night, no boys allowed, something like that. And I'm sure she'll understand. But yeah, please update me and let me know. I'm sorry if that wasn't the answer that you wanted to hear, but that's just genuinely my honest opinion of it. But yeah, I think I'm going to wrap up the episode now because it is 5:30 and I'm about to go to my screening. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and give it a little bit of love on whatever platform you are watching or listening on. And I will see you guys next week for a new episode. Bye.